This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. Like many other things, studying abroad became quite a bit more complicated during the pandemic. So this evening, we're checking in on how things have changed.
Yeah, so when we say a bit more complicated, I think mostly we mean a lot more complicated, and also with the usual kinds of delays that we were seeing during the pandemic. And that had to do with whether or not visas were getting approved, whether people found it hard to find places to stay, because of course you're not actually going to be able to be there, figuring in quarantine times, countries closing their borders. All of these things meant that for people who plan to study abroad, it was just a very tricky period. And we have a long history of sending a fair amount of people abroad to study. According to the Ministry of Higher Education, over 70,000 Malaysian students were studying abroad as of 2019. In 2020, that number almost halved, actually, dropping to almost 40,000. A global survey in May 2020, though, did show that after the pandemic hit, 69% of international students with offers were continuing to proceed with studies. Only 5% chose not to go ahead. And the top countries that we head out to are the UK and Ireland, followed by Taiwan, Australia, Egypt and Indonesia.
And the thing is, though, while choosing to go ahead might sound like a simple enough decision, I think there's so much involved in there, right? Like, for instance, as of middle of last year, students with offers to study overseas had to apply for travel permits with the Immigration Department. And it's a developing situation. Things keep changing and vaccination requirements are dependent on the destination country. And then there are, of course, all these issues of what different countries might require. And then if you situate that against different campuses, different universities, and what their requirements might be. And then if you expand that, the fear of the handling of the pandemic in different countries, whether that's something that students want to put up with, whether it's even a safe situation to go. I mean, I'm exhausted just thinking about it. So if I think about students for whom this is such a big decision to make, the decision to go abroad and study and commit to at least 2, if not more, years, it's a lot to manage.
It's a lot to manage. And I think it's also worth pointing out that for many of these students, it's going to be the first time, really, that you're living alone, living abroad, doing all these different things. And that's a challenging prospect in ordinary times, in the regular days, whenever those were. And it's, I think, much more daunting now, or perhaps much more daunting than in 2020, even 2021. I think that now we are seeing more countries beginning to open up the borders, beginning to make it the visa application a little bit easier to understand, not so opaque. And so perhaps we're seeing the tide turn, which is why we thought it would be a good time to check in.
Yes, and I think also to look at perhaps how the process of going abroad to study, not just the actual requirements, but even the questions and the issues and the concerns surrounding it, how they might have evolved over the course of the last 2 years. So we'll be joined shortly by Tamara Lim, founder of PrepWorks. But in the meantime, we'd like to hear from you. Is studying abroad still a big deal for young Malaysians? Call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about studying abroad and how that process has changed over the course of the last 2 years. And we'd like to hear from you. Is studying abroad still a big deal for young Malaysians? You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now joining us to help us understand this a little more is Tamara Lim, founder of PrepWorks, admission experts. Tamara, thank you for speaking with us today.
Hi, evening.
So let's start off with a bit of background on what PrepWorks does.
Sure. So yeah, PrepWorks is basically a body of 100 plus over tutors. And the majority of us are from Oxford, Cambridge, and Ivy League backgrounds. We basically specialize in admissions into top universities and boarding schools in the world. We'd like to say, like, most schools would probably commit about maybe 10% of their resources on this area, but we are 100% which is the last mile preparation. So it's admission strategy, course and university selection, like finding your most ideal course, dispelling a lot of like the misconceptions, like what exactly is chemical engineering, personal statement writing, the university specific entrance exams, and of course for the top universities, always the interview prep, which is the hardest part of the whole application process. And then further to that, we also do prep students up to this last mile, because we realize there's a lot of things we can prepare earlier than the last like 1 year. So we have general tutoring, enrichment, and academic booster programs, an online 100% primary academy from year one to six, and lots of sort of critical thinking and public speaking programs, which we all bunch up in a big title called StarWorks to supplement and broaden the experience of those who have only studied in Malaysia.
We were talking about this earlier because we've all seen how incredibly disruptive the pandemic has been when it comes to education. What was it like for students who were preparing to go study overseas right when the pandemic hit?
Yeah, for those who were affected in a way, they were just about to go overseas. Some actually pulled back. They like called it off, or they asked the university or the academic institution to reserve their place, they'll go next year, or so that's sort of deferring plans. And those who actually just went overseas, some came back. So they sort of aborted that one term's fees and pulled back, came back to study locally in the international schools here. Another thing that's really happened a lot is places are really competitive now at universities because of the teacher assessed grades rather than exams. Exam sittings. So then most of the exams were marked based on the teacher's predictions, and they were very optimistic. So then there were oversubscription of university offers. Yeah, basically more offers are normally given out anyway, and almost everyone made their offer. So that was really tough. And then the other thing was visa issues, because I've had students who only got their visa the morning of their flight, and that was already a postponed flight from a week ago because of basically slow processing for obvious reasons. Yeah.
So has COVID and really all of these things that you've just mentioned, have they shifted perspectives when it comes to education abroad?
I think COVID hasn't shifted it in a very obvious way, because most see education abroad as a very long-term plan. So it's sort of like a short-term blip. They're trying to manage it in the last year. How do I get around this stage? But it doesn't completely cancel it, because, it just may be deferred at the most. But of course, those who did plan on going to, say, boarding school for year 9 or year 12, that would have... they would have pulled back on that. So, and I think mainly that would be because the children are younger, and there's a lot of safety and kind of uncertainty reasons for that. So, but I do still think that there is a lot of interest in education overseas. I don't think it has really deterred them. If anything, actually, a lot of people say, oh, how about online university courses? But then after all the online learning that's been happening in schools, I think people value even more in-person, the whole in-person experience. So, university offers more than just the hard skills, right? You also have picked up a lot of like personal development as well as social skills at university. So I think parents even more value that now than ever.
We are more or less 2 years into the pandemic now. So with that in the back of most people's minds, I think, what are some of the most common questions and concerns you're hearing the most?
I have had quite a lot not get into their university course. It's been quite a rough time for a lot of students, especially at such a crucial kind of deciding moment in their education, that they can't get into this course when they could have easily gone in maybe 2 years before this. So parents are a bit up in arms. It's been very stressful for the family. They ask me, like, what do I do now? And there's a lot of, obviously, a lot of regrets and lamenting. There's also questions about whether it's still safe to send the children abroad, given, you know, the UK maybe being a little bit laxer in the way they deal with COVID than here.
Are there new considerations that now must be made as well for students that are going abroad? I'm thinking of things like health insurance, but also other documentation and so on.
Oh, I'm sure that insurance companies have also come up with really good plans on how to get around the COVID issue. So perhaps, yes, I think maybe there's more to do with that. But I think most of the normal sort of things that need to get done haven't really increased in price. I don't think so. Not to my knowledge. Yeah.
And has PrepWorks had to pivot at all? What revaluations have you had to make?
We pivoted in a big way, but also in a good way. I suppose now everyone's very open to online tutoring. Everyone knows what online learning is all about. Everything's becoming really transparent. So parents know exactly what's going on in school and how classes are run as well. So that has become so transparent. I think that's also affected a lot of families' decisions. For us, we have invested heavily in the whole online learning space. So technology to basically carry out our services more efficiently, like a student management platform. We launched 100% online primary academy, which covers the UK national curriculum from year 1 to 6. Obviously invested a lot in conferencing, video conferencing like Zoom. And we've also trained all our teaching staff to be able to deliver lessons online. So they've all got formal training and how to basically keep especially the younger children engaged over the pandemic especially. So we have pivoted in the sense, become a little bit more borderless, because now we're in Singapore and we've got students from Cambodia and China and New Zealand joining us. And also it works the other way, which is now parents are more accepting of tutors who are based not in Malaysia, but in the UK. So previously we've had cases where we've sent our tutors to our client's house. We'd actually go, and we call it in-home tutoring. We actually go to the house of the family and tutor the student in person. But then now it's actually really a lot more accepted to do online tutoring. Parents realize actually it's not that bad. There is a lot of value that can be seen doing this, especially now that our tutors also have expanded in terms of having them based in the UK. Some of them are, 30 years experienced in teaching English, who graduated from Oxford. So we have a larger pick of premium tutors as well. And that's going really well.
So taking everything that we've been talking about and summing it up, right? What advice would you have for people who are undecided or unsure on what path to take for their higher education at the moment?
I'd say my old age advice would be prepare early. I've seen it since we've started 6 years ago that the students who come to us early or actually have a plan and prepare early, they're almost twice as likely to get in. That's the first. And then the second would be to come and schedule a free half hour consult with us, because first our website's www.prep.works. And we're having a couple of events. Like tomorrow we have a medic event. If you're planning to apply to UK for medicine, the most competitive course in that country, in fact, in the world, I would say. So that's definitely something, no matter what age you are, if you're even considering it, to come and attend. And that's 9 a.m. at our office in Tamantun.
Tamara, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Tamara Lim, founder of PrepWorks, speaking to us about, how the option to study abroad has changed for our students over the course of the last 2 years. And we've been asking you to weigh in. Is studying abroad still a big deal for young Malaysians? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some messages already.
Yeah, actually, they're contrasting one another quite a bit. So Matthew says on Twitter, yes, it is. Some parents are even telling their kids to get a job and stay there or keep on studying because things aren't getting better here. It's hard to argue against that.
That is a rhetoric I've been hearing quite a bit from people. And I think it's not necessarily new, although perhaps it's intensified now. I certainly know even from when I was in university, that whole go abroad, find a job, settle down has been something that many people view as an aspiration.
So I have to say, though, that for me, this particular rhetoric hasn't worked in a personal sense. As somebody who did study abroad and was, I think my parents did genuinely have the hope that this would happen for me. And what I found, I think, while being abroad was that I didn't want to be there long term. I appreciated the experience so much. I recognized that it was a privilege to be able to do it, and I was very happy to be able to. But I think it's not as simple as hoping that your children will go abroad and settle down, because I think once you actually live in other countries, you recognize that some of the things that dog Malaysia are certainly present elsewhere.
And uprooting and shifting and starting anew is not always the easiest or most comfortable thing for everyone. As with most things, pros and cons, right? But on that note of a pretty contrasting opinion, Vijay says, I believe studying abroad is just purely the experience. Now we can have qualifications from universities abroad by just studying locally. It depends whether you want to spend the money.
I can see that. I think to some degree, that's fair. However, the part about living abroad actually is quite crucial, because you're not just studying in a university, you're actually living somewhere else. And that kind of forcing you to grow up is very hard to gain in other ways, I think. The other part of it is, when we say purely the experience, right, what exactly are we talking about? Because I remember the first time seeing my university's library and being blown away at the fact
full
that
on
this
Bell in the Beast's library experience.
I loved it so much. I spent so much time there. I mean, I hear how this makes me sound and I don't care. But I really think that kind of thing cannot be substituted by an electronic catalogue and you studying however many thousand kilometres away.
I also think that there's this overabundance of do everything here, get your degree from an overseas university with little regard for what universities those are, whether, and because you are actually paying more for the name, but are they the best choice to make? And what do you actually mean when you say studying abroad or you can do the same thing here? Because a lot of studying also involves the resources you'd have access to, the lecturers you'd have access to. I'm not at all saying you have to go study abroad, but I'm saying that it has become more and more convenient for local institutions to offer opportunities to study, opportunities to get a degree from abroad without necessarily providing most of what that entails, but only the paper qualification. And I'm getting increasingly more cynical about that. Do keep those thoughts coming. Do you think that it's still a big deal for Malaysian students to study abroad? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.